Station number 26984.
Frank House, Real 6.
Yeah.
So you weren't doing infantry training as such?
Yes.
Yeah.
We did.
You did do infantry
training? Yeah, I did
training.
Do.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it was some of it.
Mm.
Quite a lot of it, actually.
Yeah. Did you do any things that were special to the Marines? Because you weren't Marines after all, but...
No, not as such.
No.
Not sea service.
No.
No.
So they were going to use you as infantry troops.
Absolutely, yes.
What did you feel about that?
Well, we were used to it to some extent. We were expected to do anything, really. Mm. I think a Royal Marine is sort of land service, sea service, come what may sort of business.
Mm.
You're expected to sort of take part in most things, you know. What's I going to say about... I know it was... One of the great joys on arriving in England was to see these American bombers and British bombers and fighters... these 1,000 aeroplane raids, and the first one I ever saw was at Clacton-on-Sea, and I was so overwhelmed I just sat down on the pavement and cried.
Really?
Cried with joy. Amazing. And my words at that time, we certainly can't lose now, because we'd never seen many aeroplanes out where we'd been, you see. And it was fantastic.
Must have been a terrific sight and a terrific noise, I imagine, with them all going.
Yeah, just circling over Clacton-on-Sea. They used to circle quite a lot there before they went out with the fighters above them. Cool. Fantastic. Fantastic. See them now. Yeah. And then... invasion of France... We went from Clacton-on-Sea down to Portsmouth, Southampton, and as you approach to Southampton, there's a line of, well, in those days, there was a line of trees, which were very useful for air cover, and everybody seems to remember they drew in there prior to embarkation, and we got out of the trucks, and within a matter of moments, certain people were picked out to get up in another truck, and I was one of them, and there was altogether there were 60 of us, and we were hurtled down to Gosport. They drove it at breakneck speed. I always remember it. It was like this road race that goes on occasionally. We got aboard this landing craft. There were 60 of us. And we set off on June the 10th. 4 days after June the 6th, that's right. June the 10th.
What had you heard about the landings by then? Had you heard how it was going, or, you know, because there was a great secrecy, wasn't there, before the land?
No, we hadn't heard very much, it's true. And, we sort of innocently arrived at Gosport, not knowing, you know, sort of very relaxed, not expecting to be... for 60 of us be suddenly hurtled down in on the way out there. And right, it was a reasonably calm sea that day, as I remember. We hadn't gone very far before Corporal Vence, Ginger Vence from Trowbridge and me. He was the corporal, I was just a Royal Marine then. And I had to accompany him down to draw the rum ration, which we'd never had ever in the Marines.
Mm-hmm. Because you were at sea.
Well, I really never found out the real reason, because I don't recall. When I tell other people we were issued with a rum ration going over, they get quite annoyed. Some of my pals, the Normandy veteran there, they say, "Crikey, we never had anything like that. You had a special treatment." But we found out afterwards, because we landed at Utah on the American beach.
Yeah.
When I say we, I'm talking of 60 of us. Because our brigade, we had joined then the 5th Brigade. In the brigade of Royal Marines is 4,000 troops.
Right.
So why 60 of us were suddenly picked out?
Mm.
The only thing we can fathom is that we were sent over to help the Americans out there.
So what did you see as you came in before, towards Utah?
Yeah, well, we had it was just like an outing, sort of civilian sort of outing, because we landed in between, and I haven't yet found the identical beach. I thought I had. I've been out there a couple of times. But every time I go out there, I'm always with somebody else, and he wants to go there, and I want to go there. But there's Omaha and Utah, and there's a little bay there, a little bay that runs in. And the only thing I do know for certain is there's a little village, well, you couldn't call it a village, there's a little monastery there where monks are buried in the garden, called St. Marie Dumont. St. Marie Dumont, I think it is, which means the little church on the hill.
And that's where you landed, is it, by that?
Well, this is the point that was the rendezvous point. Now, we had this rum ration. Two-thirds were seasick, and a third of us had to drink all the rum. Or didn't have to, but we did. So we were like Red Indians. In fact, we were using up a little bit too much ammunition on the way over with our Sten guns.
Yeah.
And we were like cowboys, actually. So under it... on board, there were 60 motorcycles up on another deck.
On the landing craft?
On the landing craft. So it was. I don't know much about these landing crafts. I think there's three sorts. There's landing craft, infantry, landing craft, something.
Tanks.
And landing craft tank. There's something in between.
Right.
For vehicles, I think. So there are 60 motorcycles. So when we got the other end... the sergeant major had already lined us up for taking his motorcycles off, and of course we were all slightly inebriated, and I was very keen. I thought it was wonderful getting off on a motorbike, less strenuous. So the landing craft pulled in about 3 feet, managed to get in about 3 foot of water. See.
This is daytime, isn't it?
Yeah, it was daytime now. Mm-hmm. And probably after midday.
Mm-hmm.
And we just pulled in there. And the only thing we saw was a beach master. And he was very anxious with us because we seemed to be a long time getting off. And the trouble was this. I was supposed to be the second motorcycle off. The first motorcyclist, who was known to be the most brilliant donner of the brigade. And he went down and he fell off. And he blocked the gangway at the bottom, you see. And I felt so sorry for him. Les Chadwick from Chedwick. There's a Chadwick and a Chedwick. He was from London. And he fell off. I felt so sorry for him because he was a lovely fellow. Always smoked a pipe. So he fell off and somebody touched me on the shoulder and said, right, house, down you go. So I went off. Luckily, Chedwick had got himself and the motorcycle up again, and I sort of sped off and up the followed then by two others, one of which was Chedwick. And I don't know what the other fellow was, I'm sure. So we were roaring up this. We'd already crossed the beach, and we found this road to go up to St. Mary Dumont, which was a short distance away. You could almost see it from the beach, actually, one of the buildings there in the distance. That was a rendezvous point. We had to stay there until the officer arrived. So as we got off the beach and onto the road, there was a slight bend to the right. I looked around. I could hear these other fellows coming behind, and suddenly I couldn't hear them behind. So I glanced around as I went around that corner, and I saw them both fall off. And of course, I thought, from Wright Herbert, they don't know. You know, they're supposed to be brilliant motorcycles. And this was the first time that Frank had been given the opportunity to show how he could ride. And Chadwick was killed, and so was the other fellow.
Well, they had been shot.
That's right. So somebody was
picking them off.
Yeah, that's right. No wonder the beachmaster was in such an anxious state. But my immediate... I didn't know this at the time. Now, I didn't find that out till about 10 years after the war. And if I was told this in Yeovil, actually. Met somebody up there, and he said that they fell off. Chadwick fell off again. He said, Frank, they were killed, both of them. And I thought, good Lord, what about if I'd been second? Would have had to have worried.
So where were you setting off for the months?
We were setting off
to rally with the others.
You see, we were never ever told in advance what the object of the exercise was. And that was one of the big mistakes in our days when we went into action. You didn't have a clue. If you only were sort of given some idea of what the action was and what we intended to do, you'd have, you know. So the action was, we had to rendezvous here, and then there was a right turn. The road still went on. The monastery was here, and there was a little lane in there on the side underneath Monk's Parade in there, back of the monastery. We had to come here and then back towards this gun emplacement, and we were after the gun emplacement. I think we captured about 25. I got a book in there.
This was the gun emplacement was near the monastery, is that right?
Yes, it would have been. If we came here, we'd be coming back towards the beach again. It was on the towards the cliff top.
Right. Okay. And how was this planned? You know, we've heard about you arriving, coming to this area on your motorbike. Mm-hmm. How was it organised? Who organised this raid?
Well, the officer in charge, he was. There's only two officers. But the CO, we rendezvoused there, and then we proceeded here and put in the attack here.
Right, on your motorbike, you went forward.
No, you went forward on foot. Went forward on foot.
And that was the 50 of you, or however many were left.
60 of us altogether.
60 of you altogether.
Yeah.
And what time of day did you do the raid?
I don't remember.
It was daylight, was it?
It was daylight, certainly, because I remember seeing the prisoners. And to me, it was all a dream. You see, I was one of those that had had too much rum on the way over. And although I was still capable of doing what I did, the brain wasn't working as it should be, you know, when you're sober.
So did you actually take part in the raid, or were you back up?
Well, I took part in as much as I saw the prisoners coming in, because I was back with the officers. I remember a Southampton boy, Gillum his name was, Ginger Gillum, and the smile on his face is like he'd had cream for tea, you know, and he was bringing in these prisoners, and he was more proud of the flags, I call it flags, emblems that he'd captured. They were huge.
Big German.
Silk, all silk. And they had a swastika in the middle, one of them, and the other one had the golden eagle. And he was more proud of these emblems. And he was more interested in the emblems than he was with the troops. And I had the job... with a corporal, Knocker White, he was a North Country corporal, of taking these prisoners. We couldn't get rid of these prisoners. We tried to get them, we tried for the army to take them, and nobody wanted them because they were a hindrance, you see. If you had prisoners, you couldn't get on. And this was one of the troubles on Crete. Some of our boys had prisoners and they couldn't get on. And
So the raid was successful.
Successful.
The post was knocked out, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So where did you go after that?
Actually, I think the Germans, from what I saw of the site afterwards, because they put one round up the spout, another one in the firing position, and then they pull the trigger and then it splits the barrel. The Germans put their guns out of action and surrendered.
Really?
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of shooting then.
No, we didn't do it. So they must have known we were coming. And you see, I found out I had the job of taking these prisoners with Knocker White down, getting rid of them somewhere. I think we got rid of them down on the beach. And we were told before we marched them down that if we had, that there was some element of Nazis amongst them, you know, because most of them were foreigners, they were Russian or some...
Really?
Some foreign origin, very meek they were, and but amongst them there was a stiffener of them, and or Knocker White was told that if we had any trouble, dispatch them, you know, but if you dispatch them, you had to take the bodies in as well, and unfortunately this is what happened. So,
did they play up? Was this the Nazi prisoners?
They tried to escape. I think there's either four or six. I can't remember now.
How many of you were taking them down to the
Only
beach?
Two of us.
Only two of you, right.
Hmm.
So when they made a run for it, did they?
Yeah, that's right.
So you had no choice really?
No. So, but they were warned in advance. I heard Knocker White And of course, he was a North Country boy. They're tougher, I think, than the wee West Country fellows. I think they're a bit thicker in the head, Francis. No disrespect to them, but they were pretty tough boys.
So he didn't hesitate, and you couldn't hesitate, could you?
No. No, he was a corporal.
Mm.
Knocker.
He fired first, did he?
Yeah. He used to work at Westland Aircraft. He got a job down here. He came from the north down to Westland Aircraft in Yeovil. I used to work in Yeovil for the local government, and he came down. And I happened to meet him one day.
Oh, right. So you got the rest of the prisoners down to the beach, did you, and the two bodies?
Managed to get rid of them, yes. Mm. But don't remember the, I think the excitement marching down blotted out the arrival. But
you rejoined your unit, did you? You went back.
We didn't. We then followed the Americans to Cherbourg.
Did you?
Yeah, because I went into Cherbourg within a couple of days after it was taken.
Mm. Oh, right. So you joined up with an American. You two, it was just the two of you, was it?
No, 60 of us.
Oh, the whole 60 of us.
Yeah.
And you joined up with the Americans?
Yeah, we stayed with the Americans simply because we couldn't get food.
Right. Which Americans were these? Do you know which units they were?
No, I don't.
Right.
We had our son. We landed on the Thursday, and we had a meal with them on a Sunday. And I'll never forget that meal. It was the finest meal I ever had in the service, I think.
Was that in Cherbourg, was it?
No, it was on the cliff tops. And their liner down below anchored in the bay, I said, "What's that merchant ship doing?" "Oh, that's our food store." And we had chicken and potatoes for lunch, which was unbelievable for us, and sitting on the rocks on the cliff tops. And we said, "What's for afters?" And they said, "Fruit salad and cream." We said, pull the other one, it's got bells on it. And what did we have? We had a tin of fruit salad between two and a little tiny tin of cream there. And I, after that, if ever I passed an American camp and I was mobile, either in a lorry or on a motorbike, I used to pull in there. And I used to say to the first NCO I saw, "And he'd chow, mate, straight down there, boy, on the left." I never missed a meal was there an American camp.
Yeah. So what have these Americans been doing? Had they taken Cherbourg, or...? Were they fighting troops, or were they sort of service corps?
Well, some or other, our officer arranged for us to dine with them on the beach top. I had no conversation with them other than just saying, "What's for afters," or something like that.
Right, okay. And where did you go after that then? Did you stay in Cherbourg?
No, we didn't stay. We didn't get into Cherbourg. In fact, the Americans didn't want us in Cherbourg. I wouldn't say they kicked us out, but they made sure that it was their capture, and they didn't want the American troops the English troops in there at all. We only went in there in the evening just to have a look. And it was like going into an empty town. There's no lights and no one about, no civilians. So they only saw it a couple of times. But only a fleeting idea of...
So where did you move on to then?
Yeah, well, we were waiting then for our brigade to come over, and then we wended our way back. I got a route card here with the names of the places. We were waiting for the 5th Brigade to come over, because we were 5th Brigade units.
Yeah.
And we joined up with them, as far as I remember, in Caen. Because I was fortunate enough to see a bit of the Battle of Caen, mainly from the air. When I say mainly from the air, I mean the 1,000 bombers coming over.
Yeah.
And that was the sight we're seeing.
So you went towards Caen, and the battle was still going on, and the bombers were coming in.
Yeah, I got a certificate amongst my papers there. I met a schoolmate in Caen. Officer and me were in a jeep, and Captain Hall, his name was, and he was driving, and I was sat up beside of him, driving here, going down the street looking for food for a few troops that we had, 60, I suppose, or 60 troops still. And I said to him, why don't we pull in, because all these troops were going up on the sidewalk or pavement, or whatever you call it. So I said, why don't we pull in and ask somebody, sir? Oh, good idea. So he swooped in and I said, hoi, you, pointed to a fellow there. And he came up and saluted. I thought he was saluting me. It felt a bit important, camouflaged, you know. And saluting the officer, of course. And I said, stand at ease. I said, you don't recognise me, do you? And he looked at me and he said, no, sir. And I said, your name Davis? And he said, yes. I said, Leonard Davis? It's yes, from Southyard? Yes. Dyke Hill? Yes. Who the hell are you? He said. So I said, I'm Frankie House. And he didn't believe it.
Yeah.
So I got him to sign a document to say we met. And so that was quite an experience.
Yeah. So did you find some food?
Yes. Well, we went to the army. He told us, he said, I saw a sign up the road there, and where you would have to turn down right. I'm sure it's marked, you know, depot. So he went up there and they refused us. They said, you must go to the Royal Navy. We can't issue you with any food. So we had to put in an alternative. We managed to find a dump. So we did a midnight raid. And we had a 3-ton lorry full of K rations to last us for quite some while. Would you know what a K ration is?
Yes, that the
American.
Boxes, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Boxes of them. And I searched through and took out all the cigarettes, because there was, I forget how many cigarettes was in each cardboard box.
So you got the idea of looking after yourself at the time, haven't you? Because no one else was going to. Yeah.
Typical.
Yeah.
And
so you actually joined up with the 5th Brigade in Caen.
Yes, that's where we met up. Yes, because we moved off from Caen, and I remember going through Rouen, and that headlong dash that took us, I don't know how long it took us, how many days it took, at least 2 days to get to Antwerp, because when we caught up with the enemy was at Merksem, which used to be 4 miles the other side of Antwerp, but it's now part of Antwerp, it's a suburb. So
so how did you make contact with the enemy there then? What did you do, you know?
Yes. Now then, we joined up with the Canadian Army. Our 5th Brigade was Once we left Caen, we were part of the 2nd Canadian Army. We tried to get a job with the Yanks, you see, our outfit. But the Yanks obviously turned us down. That's only assumption on my part. And then the Canadians thought it'd be a good idea to have us come along with them. And we stayed with them, attached to them, right up to the following year. Yes, that's right. Right up to beginning 1945. That's when we became detached with the Canadian.
Right. So did you see action with the Canadians?
The only action we saw was the Canadians used to push on through places, and we used to sometimes be called upon to clear up, you know.